Hey, Bill and Gutton, welcome to Black Law Tribal Edition. Murumu here with you today. Now, recently the news coming out of Victoria was the first ever Aboriginal treaty inside the Commonwealth of Australia.
The nation's first treaty with First Nations people is being signed. You can see there the Premier, Jacinta Allan, seated at the table at Government House. Next to her, the Treaty Minister, Natalie Hutchins. To her right is Reuben Bird.
Hey, Bill and Gutton, welcome to Black Law Tribal Edition. Murumu here with you today, and we have the all-star lineup. We've got Bumi, Yirilum, Ganyara and Vico, and yours truly, Murumu, and we are travelling all around the world on these internet waves and radio waves, and we just want to say thank you, big hello to everyone. Also, that big thanks to our friends at the National Indigenous Radio Service and, of course, Bumma Bipra Media, 98.7 FM. Now, recently, the news coming out of Victoria was the first ever Aboriginal treaty inside the Commonwealth of Australia, which we'll be talking about today and a few other things as well. So that's been really, really important in terms of the subject matter and the recognition of Aboriginal sovereignty. But what is it really when we're looking at John Howard saying a nation cannot treaty with itself? If Victorians are signing deals with the Victorians and they're under one jurisdiction, it's not really a treaty then. We have to be very serious and honest about it. But, Ganyara, I'll bring you in. Maybe let's just have a listen to some of the news around it. We'll have a listen to some of the news reports that have come out. Hang on.
The nation's first treaty with First Nations people is being signed. You can see there the Premier, Jacinta Allan, seated at the table at Government House. Next to her, the Treaty Minister, Natalie Hutchins. To her right is Reuben Berg, the co-chair of the Assembly of First Peoples, signing the document there. The bill will be given royal assent by the Governor, Margaret Gardner. This is the treaty, the contents of the treaty, Australia's first treaty being signed there. And it really means that this is a commitment from both sides. The agreement's been negotiated for some months between the Victorian government and the First Peoples Assembly, a commitment to do things better for Aboriginal people. So the applause there as the treaty is made law and signed. And that's the governor there, Margaret Gardner, giving royal assent to the bill. This is an historic moment. It follows nearly a decade of negotiations between Indigenous peoples and the state government.
There you go, some sound bites there about the treaty. Ganyara, in a global sense, treaties do exist between nation to nation, for example. Most treaties in like the Treaty of Vienna or the many different treaties there are, Waitangi, for example, there's two parties to it, and the Maori are not Britain and Britain aren't Maori and whatnot, or the people of the land. So how did you see this coming about, and what is it really?
You ask what it is. It's gammon. That's what it is. It's actually fraud. It's misrepresentation. You name the law, you could probably breach each and every one of them. So what it is a scam, of course. Total racket. Don't believe it. It's not a treaty. It's not a treaty in the true sense of the word. They're just telling pork pies, if you want to call it that way, but I'd like to call it lies. It's a nothing. It's a nothing burger. There is no treaty. There is nothing. You said Waitangi, which was a really good one, because they actually got that on paper. It's written down. You know, done in the mid-1800s when the British were getting pretty well hammered down there by the original people, they decided to, said, how are we going to exist here? Well, the Maoris didn't want to hand over their country, of course. There was a report come out in 2015 by the tribunal, Waitangi Tribunal, and said, no, the Maoris didn't cede sovereignty in that Treaty of Waitangi. Which is a really interesting statement because, you know, at least the British there could recognise all the tribes down there. And yet when they come onto this side of the ocean, they refuse to acknowledge that they're here. And yet they go to New Guinea the other day and they acknowledge that the tribes up there had their sovereignty and they could do deals together and go back to where they rightfully belong. So they can go everywhere by here and say the right thing here. But Waitangi is a really good one to show what a treaty is. It's got three clauses to it. Not very hard to read. Basically, what it was, the British were going to be the authority over their people, the Maoris were going to be unaffected basically by it, being though they're going to like lend some country to the British to be upon. But one clause there says that they will be treated as British subjects and receive the royal protection from the monarch, you know, the queen or the king in right of the UK or Britain. Well, that's a rather interesting place to be now. The tribunal said, yeah, the Waitangi Treaty is very real and it's still alive to this very day. And they're trying to say it belongs in New Zealand law, but it doesn't. Let's have a look at that. You know, as a got all the rights of a British subject, the Maoris, if they went over to the UK, for example, into England, they should be going in the fast lane for the returning British subjects. They should be in that lane. But can the New Zealanders get into that lane? You know, I asked the question, are those people there British subjects or have the rights of British subjects? And of course they don't. They got no privileges to go through the fast lane. They are foreign to the UK. Now, okay, so they're not British subjects, but it said the parties to the agreement were the British and the Maoris, not the New Zealanders, because they weren't even thought of. There's no transfer clause in the Treaty of Waitangi. Have a think about this. What would happen now if the Maoris, in their correct capacity under the original treaty, said, King, you better send a warship down to kick these New Zealanders out. They've been a real pain on my country, and they're offending all us, and they're causing harm to us. You better send the warship. Please protect us under the treaty. What would happen if the King didn't send the British warship down to kick the New Zealanders out of that mob's country? The treaty would be dead in the water. But, you know, let's just go and have a look at what actually did happen to that treaty. You know, it's a very real deal. It is for real. It was signed off by the British. It was Hobson signed off on it for the British. Now, it says, you know, all this stuff. But then the crown, it was an indivisible crown back then when that was signed. That was the empire where the sun never sets. When you go to there, now the crown become divisible with the Westminster Act. You know, so, they didn't put that in the treaty. They didn't stipulate that should the crown become divisible in sometime in the future, we've got to renegotiate or, you know, this comes into play and it'll continue and we'll accept that this is the terms and conditions of the treaty. They didn't do it. So all of a sudden the crown becomes divisible. Who the hell is New Zealand now? You know, who are they? They got no rights as a British. They got no privileges and rights as a British subject like the Maoris have, which is why the New Zealand government is trying to keep all the Maoris inside New Zealand. And that brings us back to the Victorian Treaty. Is it a real treaty? Is it a real deal? Of course it's not. Because the people of the nation can't treaty with itself. John Howard said that. You cannot do a treaty with yourself. A nation does not treaty with itself. So that means you must be in another jurisdiction to enter the treaty. Well, when the British come to New Zealand, the Maoris were in a separate jurisdiction in their one. Their pre-colonial laws were there, and they're still there today, by the way, but you're all in New Zealand while you've walked away from them. And the British come as British subjects. So there was two camps there. There was, you know, the original Maori tribes and the British. Not New Zealand, you know, so that wasn't there. But in Australia, we're saying, oh, look how good we are. We're going to give you Aboriginal Australians, or you Aboriginal Victorians, sorry. Aboriginal Victorians get a special privilege. You can be on this treaty, this make-believe treaty thing, which is really offensive, by the way, to tribal law. Remember, if your tribe's up here, if your country's up here, say, for example, and you go and live in New Zealand, you can take part in that. If you go to Victoria, you can take part in that treaty process down there. But no more, your country's up here under tribal law. So you're offending tribal law by taking part in it. You know, so this is all just gammon. And then you've got, like you mentioned last time, about the Aboriginal nations who who span both sides of the river, you know, the river that cuts off Victoria from New South Wales. Now, they span both sides, some of them. So on one side, you've got a deal that's all gammon. On the other side, you've got nothing. What do you really have? This is the question.
It sounds double gammon. You got both sides gammon, but it's the same story. Yurilam, I'll bring you in here. I mean, really, what is interesting about the Australian conversation is that it's always talking about two groups of people, but it's in the same jurisdiction. So they'll talk about Aboriginal history, Aboriginal Australians or Torres Strait Islanders, but at the same time, they keep it all in one house, and that's not sovereignty. Sovereignty is... in this case, Yidinji has its own house, its own law, its own rules, and the government that has been set up here that we're part of has been there to engage with the international community to keep Yidinji's house intact, not to be absolved or absorbed into some other jurisdiction.
Yeah, well, that's an indication of the state of play. You know, that's where Australia sits. They're very aware of that. They're sitting in within a sandcastle that's falling apart, sort of thing. There is no solid ground for them to be on. And this, you know, the examples of what Gagnara just gave us, you know, where a country who is confused is recognising sovereignty of all the other nations outside of the continent that they're on. You know, and so in this case, we talked about, what did you say, Gagnara? We've got New Guinea. Who else have we got?
New Zealand,
yep. The third one there, wasn't it? Palestine. Mm. You know, they're happy to run around recognising all these other nations around the world, and yet all of the 250-plus nations on the continent they're claiming that they've got sovereignty on just left standing, you know, left holding the bag.
Yeah, and they always talk about, in regards to Palestine, a two-state solution. So that means there's two jurisdictions there, two states, two jurisdictions. I'm not too sure exactly what they're thinking about, but Gagnara, you got something to say?
Absolutely. Get Bumi's microphone ready to go, because I'm going to ask Bumi in front of everyone. I'm talking to Bumi, not Peter Hyde. Who speaks for country over? Who speaks for country inside your dingy country? Is it the Australian, Peter, or is it Bumi Jimabara? Which one speaks for country proper?
Bumi.
There you go. See that? He knows the old law. You've been handed down this law from your daddy, your granddaddy, your great-grandfather, right?
Yeah.
See? So if he understands this, does Australia understand it? Of course not, because they want to be the boss. They want to be top dog. Mm. Now, that brings us back to a rather interesting thing that Yerla mentioned about all this stuff inside Australia, and it's all gammon. Let's go into the world of PBCs, prescribed body corporate for native title. I love this one. You know, you can get native title if you surrender the right to oil and gas. Oh, how good is that, you know? If you go into, I think it's Article Q of the test to get into there, P or Q it is, that if you claim oil or gas, we're not going to get a determination. We won't give it to you. But who's determining that? Who's actually taking part in the native title determination? It will be an Australian citizen. Now, an Australian citizen has no right to speak for country that belongs to someone else whose sovereignty is outside of Australia. Now, that'd be like Peter talking about Bumi's country. Now, that just doesn't work. The PBCs, these prescribed body corporates, that hold land in trust for an Aboriginal nation, where are they created? They're an Australian entity filled by Australian people. They got no right, absolutely zero right, as legal entities. I'm not talking about the humans. The persons that are in there, the legal identities, those Australian persons, have got no right to tell Bumi, for example, what he can and can't do on his own country.
Yeah, like Bumi, next door is the German consulate. They got a German shield on there.
Yeah.
You can't talk for that one.
No.
I mean, it's pretty obvious. I mean, that's a German one. The same way they can't hold a Yidinji one and speak for Yidinji.
Mm. See, like the snow, not like the snow. See, one gribble when he first came to Yoruba, they said, who in charge of you? They said, you're going to see Boa there, Charlie Eyed there. So Dad seen him, he said, look, we don't need you here. But up at Stockyard, when a big cyclone came, he took everybody up there from the cyclone. Now, people trying to run my country, you can't do that. You can't do that on Yidinji land. And I've asked a lot of people, see, I don't need a wall. I've already got my wall. That's my dad and all them not been dancing in Yarra, but they're my wall. I don't need PBC or land council or this or that. I've got my law, and I still do it, and I'll still stand up for Yidinji, because I'm a Yidinji man. I'm an elder.
And that's an important, bit of evidence there. Can we say that? I think it's really important. I know that things are complex and complicated in where we are, let's say in Gimoy, Cairns, or whatever you want to call it. But there has to be order. There has to be the rule of law. And I'm sorry to say this, but the rule of law is Yidinji. And Australia can have its club and do all that kind of stuff, but it has to get consent from the Yidinji first, not the other way around, Gagnara.
Precisely, that's the very issue, and that's what I'm going to ask the old fella now again, Bumi. Does Yidinji have its laws, its old laws that aren't Australian? Because he knows them very well. So does Yidinji have its old laws still in place?
Yeah, oh yeah. when I'm here still alive, it's just going to keep on going. See, just give me a guy in Murma, Yoram, and Yara, that when I went to Millicent, I went out, I got to go past Winton, then Longridge, to see the sea there, and one lady even talked to me there. He said, mate, he said, the whole place down there, we moved it up here. I said, what? You know? They're moving, mum lot been moving around. There's no fun out there. I mean, going to a beach and fresh water, nothing out there. Like from Georgetown, you know? And they had a lot of moving around from there. So we're not going to move any more for anybody now. We're going to stick it in now because nobody's going to take what I'm going to do while I'm alive or what I'm going to do. See, you will speak nothing else but Edingi. And don't forget that. And I'm an elder of the Edingi tribe.
Yeah, those things are well documented. And, you know, when I've had been very lucky to hear some of the recordings and see some of the family genealogies and the real hardcore evidence, Ganyara, that would blow, would, you know, put some of these other documents of antiquity to shame.
Oh, precisely. And this is the part that gets really exciting. I like what Alfala just said here. And what reinforces what he just said is let's go to the native title determination, you know, that Gunganji Mudding Alpi one that talks about country. And the Justice Dowsett, he's a great bloke. He deserves Australia, the award for Australia Day. He really does. He made a great one. He said to that in that determination that you own this place pursuant to your law, to the old, you have your own system of land tenure and authority and decision making and dispute resolution, and you own this under your law. Not Australian law. You said you've owned it before the Europeans come, and you still own it today under that law. Now, the PBC or the native title mob say, okay, here's your country back, but they issue an Australian or a Queensland land title. But how does that say you're the owner if your law is over here where you're the true owner? So what is this Australian land title all about? It is just another part of the gammon make-believe mess that Australia has left here, just like the Victorian treaty stuff. It's all gammon.
And I think by, and I just stand to be corrected, but I now bind the Yarrabah Aboriginal Shire Council, the state of Queensland and the Commonwealth of Australia to this decision.
All Australians.
All Australians, that's exactly right. So, like, I'm not even, there's no argument here. It's very clear that the tribe and whatever the tribe creates represents the tribe. It's very simple for me, who's never studied law, right, to see that this Australian world is telling the world that it doesn't own the native title or create the native title, and yet it's saying that all Australians have to acknowledge this as the determination of the Federal Court of Australia. And what we're saying here, the rule of law is very simple, and it's there for a reason. It's there because you can't change it. You can't change Yidinji law. You can't, you know, there's only things you can do to represent or codify it. You can't change the mole things. You can't do a Michael Jackson dance for a Yidinji one, for example.
Now, you mean like what we done 10, 15 years ago. You mean that one back there where all the elders come together while most of them were still alive. They all come together and we had all these, I'll call them conventions, but we had them in the parks everywhere. We went everywhere with this to bring them together and say, okay, what are we going to do? If we're the owners of this place, how are we going to be seen legally in the world? And one of them there says, we're going to form a parliament. We're going to become a political community now that the world can see. We always were political because we had authority and decision-making capabilities. Now we'll create something called the Yidinji government. By gee, what happens now? We're back. We're doing political stuff on our country. We're doing that. What Australia should have been doing is doing a deal with us. But no more, they think they're the boss. They realise they own nothing. And all this come about, it's all written down and signed off on by the elders, which is why I say to Uncle here, do men or women speak for country? You know, and if he says to me, women speak for country, I'll be very quiet because I know on that determination, women don't speak for country. They got their job. Men speak for country. True?
True, yeah. Yeah.
See, he as an elder, he knows that. But most young people don't know that. And especially white fella, you know, the foreigner, the innocent poor people in this will get tangled up into an ancient jurisdiction where there's serious punishment. Now, we go back to the Land Council. I love this one because back in 2012 or 13, a Land Council meeting was being called up in Atherton, you know, for working out tableland stuff, and a young lawyer from the Land Council jumped the table. He got really upset because Gunjarabai was there. He was boss of the Washfer up there. He was top dog. This young woman jumped the table and was going to punch him. A young Australian woman. He's actually New Zealander, but that's another story. She jumped over and was going to punch the boss. Now, what would happen, Uncle, if a young woman was going to punch you? What would be the punishment under tribal law? You think about that one. Now, what happened? We leveled a pretty serious complaint against Land Council, and this young woman was taken away within a week because there is corporal and capital punishment for such offences. Now, you don't go and hit the old elders. You don't do anything like that because that old law brings about jurisdiction all of a sudden, and the laws that were there. Now, women don't speak for country, cannot speak for country. Then there's marriage laws. Say a Yidinji woman marries someone outside the tribe. Where does she go? She goes to the law of the man that she marries into. So, you know, they're connected all right. Their apical ancestor is back here, but they've married to go into another system of law. This is what I'm saying. People don't understand this stuff. And yet when they get them into these PBCs and this Gammon Australian land title, oh, look at this one here. We hold it in trust for the Gunganji people. Well, what's the Australians got to do with it? This is what I'm trying to say. The human is not the identity. The identity is created by Australia or Yidinji. Which one are you being seen legally through? Which is why I say it here today. I see Bumi and not Peter. I can't see Peter. He belongs somewhere else. He belongs in Australia. We're talking about proper tribal stuff. So I can't see Peter legally. It's offensive to me.
And that's why the government exists today, the Yidinji one, that is. So it is written down because people make mistakes, obviously. And that's okay too. You know, we're not making sure that people are going to get smacked for an anonymous mistake. And I think once people realise the rule of law, I don't think there's any Yidinji or Kunganji or anyone who would say that Australia is the boss for this land. I would certainly bet on that. But unfortunately, they have to use what's available at the moment. But once you – that's why the whole government's been set up, because there needs to be this own housekeeping, because no one knows that country better than the families that are from there.
Yeah.
So Jabbergai, no Jabbergai. No, you know, Mullumbarra, no Mullumbarra. But, you know, I don't know any more than them people. So why would Australia know more than them?
See, like in Yarrabah, I went out to Rieswick. I built that place up. Remember that? And he went out to Yidinji there, you know? We know what we're doing. Because when you come from these living from the old people, they can't leave you, you know, like, yes, in you, you know? Yeah, I've lived that life. You know, and Humpy. I know some of you now, but when you come from the old people, you know, game's over, you know? You can't beat me, you know? I know it in places, and there's a grave in Olmsted too, and, you know, people have been doing Hollander. You don't do that there on anybody. I told Mum, and then Mum came out, you can't do that, you know? We do the corroboree, and we do our work, and but you can't take it off me, you know?
I think it's really important that, you know, the Yidinji government is there to really provide the paperwork for the tribe. And unfortunately, Australia is doing that for mob at the moment, and that's the reality of the situation. But it doesn't mean that we have to accept it. And I think that's why people sort of are curious about sovereignty but don't necessarily follow it up, because maybe we're not doing a good job of explaining it. But we're trying to. We're trying to share what sovereignty is all about. And I think it's a very important thing that people don't act emotional first, don't get wild. And, hey, what are you doing here? You know, all this kind of stuff. It's really important just to always be, oh, which way, how are you, who's your mob, where are you from, you know, all that kind of stuff is really important, because then you know what's going on the land and the communication's open, which is why I think through certain mechanisms and avenues, the Yidinji Nation is really making big news overseas more than here on the home front, because of the way that we are going about ourselves, you know. You know, some countries will use guns and bombs to enforce their sovereignty. We don't have to do that here. We've got the truth here. We've got the wisdom of the elders and the families that call this place home for thousands of years. Why would you need machine gun and bombs to prove a point?
Well, you absolutely don't. That's the thing. When you have right on your side, that's the important part. You've got right. Now, we've got Uncle here understands, Bumi understands law. As a very senior lawman, I dare not cross him down here in this part of the world because I deserve all the punishment I get. But when you start to look at what what Australia is trying to do, Australia is not trying to give the country back to the people properly. They can't do that. That's up to the tribe to educate itself about what it is. Now, sad to say, and it's not only Aboriginal people, most people are very undereducated about what's going on here. They've got all these beliefs and theories, but most of them are very uneducated. Now, as an Aboriginal Australian, you don't own the country. That's a legal identity created inside Australia. You don't own it. You've got to go back to your tribe and get the identity there that is the true owner, the true possessor of the country where sovereignty really resides. You've got to go to there. And when you go there, Australia can't touch you. You become the true people who own the place proper and not be dictated to by Australia, by the state of Queensland or anything else. And the only sad part is Australia is limiting the ability for the tribes to assert sovereignty, which may be getting very close to crimes against humanity. Now, they believe in the international rule of law. Let's hold them to account on that. The minute they try and stop us, the minute they try and stop Bumi going on country, and he hasn't got to ask anyone, the minute they try and stop him, then they're starting to get into these crimes against humanity. He has his own law. The tribe has its own law. He understands the law. We understand the law, but Australia doesn't because they believe that they're the boss. I ask anyone in Australia, anyone, you show me the doctrine of how you acquired sovereignty. Anyone.
Yeah, I think it's really important. You're listening to Black Law Tribal Edition right across the planet today. We'll be back after the break. Yeah, welcome back to the show. Gunyara, you mentioned that in the determinations there's quite a common occurrence in the judge's decision, let's say. Today I come here to give you nothing. Nemo dat quod non habet is a Latin phrase that one cannot grant which one does not possess. Australia can't give you your land back because it doesn't hold it. And, you know, there's a story in the Bible where Satan takes Jesus up to this mountain and he says, if you bow down to me, I'm going to give you everything you see here. But Jesus has been making that thing. You see what I'm saying? I'm not saying that the land council is Satan or anything like that. That's not the right parallel. All I'm saying is that there's a very clear picture there that God made Yidinji, God made Kunganji, God made all the tribes of the world, and he gave them law and order and dominion, eminence, and all these things, hominins, you know, all these Latin things talking about. So that's what we're dealing with. And when you're dealing with God, you be very, very careful, because if you go against that, that's where spiritual things take place. And I don't want that to, you know, I want everyone to go to heaven as a follower of Jesus. I want everyone to go there. I don't want anyone to suffer. Okay. So, but those things can happen if we're not careful about it.
Well, the idea of a treaty is to sort out the mess they made. That's why they're talking about treaty in Victoria. I think somewhere in that good book it says don't steal anyone else's property, don't take their land off them, don't do some murdering, don't do any bad stuff to us. Hang on. I think that sits in Parliament House on their desk and they read a bit out of it every day, say the morning prayer. Oh, didn't they do some murdering? Or didn't they steal some... Oh, we went and saw the bishop about that. Remember that? We go and see the bishop. Yes, we're on the Bible, ladies. Oh, don't do any killing. We went and saw him and said, okay, how'd you get the right to put your church on our country? Where's that say, oh, that good book says don't steal country? I think I got sick of Lamingtons by the end of that conversation, because we only had 10 or 15 minutes given to us, but 2 hours later we had to go, you know. He's trying to, well, don't go down there, you know. I've got to stand up in the pulpit on Sundays and say don't steal. Well, hang on a sec, everything's stolen here. This is where Australia has led the world astray. Don't tell lies. You know, I think that's in that book too somehow, and they got it on their desk. You go into court, they got it on their bench. All this law, it's all contained in that book. And I think the Archbishop at the coronation of the Queen said, this is the greatest book afforded to mankind, yet they've broken every part of that. When they come here, they broke the law.
And Jesus said, I didn't come here to destroy the law, I come here to fulfil it. So even he was under tribal law.
Absolutely, and this is where we come back to here now. When we talk about who owns what, the Justice Dowse, that when he made these determinations for Tableland, for Down Here, Gunganji Way, all that, he told the truth. You know, there was one over in West Australia, PayPay, that was a really good one, you know. I can't give you nothing. What can I give you if you own this? What can I give you? Nothing. But what he didn't say was, you're in my court in the wrong name, in the wrong legal identity. You have to go into my court as an Australian identity. And then he says, I can give you nothing, because if you go back to your true jurisdiction, your true name, you own it all. The people have walked away from their land. It's like the Pied Piper. He played his little tune and they all come over for the Australian dollar or the British pound. They were just taken off their land inadvertently. That's why I'm saying we're all, including Australians, we're all undereducated about what has gone on here and who the true owners are, under what law. Australian law does not allow you to own anything.
Yeah.
Because they've got rights reserved to the Crown.
Who got forked tongue, do you know?
And I tell you now...
Who talk with forked tongue?
I tell you now, Bumi don't speak with forked tongue, because he knows the law. And the thing is, the rest of the mob know that he knows the law. The rest of the mob know the law as well. So they say, yep. And so I ask everyone when I go around to see them, where's your tribal identity? How are you seen legally? And they pull out their Queensland driver's license. Hey, there I am. The identity is trespassing on your country. Not you, not the human. The identity is that you're being seen legally through. And that's why you've got to go to a PBC and ask for consent to go on your country, because the identity is what you're dragging around. You're just a courier for a piece of paper that's got no right to be here. So whatever Australia is, it's a trespasser, and everything that's created subject to the Constitution is trespassing. Not the original Aboriginal people, but the legal world.
Yeah, and that's what we're saying here. It's very clear. We're not having a go at anybody.
No.
It's more about the system, right? And what we're trying to highlight to the system is that if the system is not is doing more harm than good, then might be you doing something wrong or the system is doing something wrong. And all I know that, Bumi, is that when you've got the truth and it's that's the rock, it's, you build on a foundation, your house is on the rock.
Yeah.
Not on the sand.
See, Jobber guy, this voice for you too. Georgetown, Cloncurry, Winton, you know, Villison, Edingi people here, Kinganji. You know, I'm the voice for it, you know. Yeah, Jobba guy, don't forget that. Irriman, like Mum's Way, you know, all of. So this voice for you too, you know, what we're talking about here. We're not pulling anybody down. We're standing up, you know. We want you to come to sovereignty too. The Mole people have been in sovereignty. And that's the right way to go. And I thank Murrum and Yerlam and Banjara and all my other friends around me here and there that, you know, stay with Uncle and we'll walk one line, you know. And finish that? And yeah, well, it's a big thing to me that I've got drawn into this. Land Council, I never seen anything there, but for sovereignty, like Grandad and all the Mole people, that's power, you know. I mean, you look, they had to put two big boats in front of Yarraba, and they put a cross up there, like, you know. I know the Lord died, but he's alive now. But putting things like that and, you know, destroying a life, you know. You got to, you know, all them things happen in Yarraba. See, like, about this stopping me from what I'm doing, it's like they're stripping Dad and Mum and putting kerosene on their head, you know. It's hurt when you do shaving and they put lotion, but then they put a lot of kerosene on their head and flogging them, and they could have got wiped out a long time ago, you know, people in Yarraba, because... Minnie was with the other fella, you know, gribbling. He'd done his job, and this is serious stuff, you know. I mean, don't take things lightly. When you're with people who've lived their life, they see these things go on, which is not right, you know. Yeah.
Yeah. Yerlam, I might bring you back into the mix here, but obviously there's people listening to the show who maybe hearing this for the first time, or some of the stories that Cullen is saying as well, but people, I think a majority of people want to live for truth, a true way. They're not, you know, I think people are sort of sick of being lied to and beaten and have their kids taken from them or shot at, or, you know what I mean, all these things that we know that there's a heaviness here. And so when we're talking about that, we want to sort of fix that up. And when you start to look beyond that person, I don't like that person, or this person on that team or whatever, it sort of cuts through all that nonsense, you know. And that's what I like about what we do, is that we can actually sit down face to face with people and yarn in a good way, but not get emotional over it. And even though this people can get emotional, and very rightfully so too, because there is that a lot of hurt that Australia done. And whatever it is, that could have been a long time ago, it could have been yesterday. But at the end of the day, we're all here together and we need to work out a way on how to live with each other. And that's what we're saying. Well, this is one way of doing that, based on the old law, the original law, where we look after each other. We've got extended family, kinship systems, marriage laws, all that kind of stuff. Keep that going, but having a modern reflection or things that through a government that the tribe controls, not anyone else.
Yeah, absolutely. That's why we're here. You know, you look at, yeah, you're right. It was done a long time ago, and it was done yesterday, and it's still being done now. So, you know, that heaviness from a cultural perspective that people carry around with them who lived through that through generational trauma is something that exists. But, you know, the flip side of that, and that's the only one I can speak about, because, you know, I haven't got that generational trauma. In fact, I'm a bit scared to look at my generation to see how much involvement my ancestors had in this. And, you know, the flip side of that is a as a scary coldness that allows anybody to live their lives on this continent without having the courage to look at the truth of what the past holds. You know, it's one of the requirements that of my work that I do in Australia, that if I'm traveling anywhere in the country, that I have to know the colonial load that I'm walking into. You know, I have to be aware of what happened on the country that I'm going into, not to share with anybody that I'm going there, but just to carry that empathy within me, to know that this is the legacy that Australia is currently leaving. And yet the true and traditional and correct sovereign owners are now in with the likes of Yidinji and so forth, standing up and giving them the possibility of redemption, you know. And it starts with the courage to know what's happened and then to sit down at the table with us and other nations.
Yeah, Ganyara, it's important to know that, I mean, look, you know, we know that Uncle is a Parramatta Eels fan, but if he's wearing that shirt, you can't tell Brisbane Broncos how to play. And if you're wearing a Yidinji tribal shirt, we can't tell Aranda people how to play, or, you know, because they play AFL anyway. But anyway, what I'm saying is that Australia can't tell Yidinji how to play.
Absolutely not. And this is something everyone must remember. There's a lot of theories out there, but the theories are all BS. There's either the sovereignty of the tribe or Australia. This is your reality. You got the British came in and just moved into the house. They didn't acquire the house properly, so they don't own the house. So your original lord is still the owner of the house. Australia, the British moved in. Australia got come about because of the British. It's a manifestation of colonialism. There's two players here. It's either the Aboriginal sovereignty or Australia. Now, if you go into Australia, you've walked away from your country. You've got to go back to your original law where you are the true and correct owner. No one can beat that. No other theory in the world can beat that. It's recognised around the world that you deposit it. If you're the original owner and you haven't lost it, you're the boss. You own this place. So understand that there's two things only here. And you get all the neo-Nazis and all these crazies that are going on out there wanting to say, we're going to get the white Australia back. No more. It's either going to be our world or it's gone. Now, we're trying to do a deal and let Australia be here to work with us, to be part of us. But they definitely cannot, tell us what to do. We're the owners of the country under tribal law. The first-in-time law, it lets Uncle be down here, top dog. He is top shelf here on country because everyone else is wanting to be an Aboriginal Australian. They all want to be an Aboriginal Queenslander. They cannot, under that legal identity, tell him what to do. So there's two worlds, and that's all there is here. There's nothing else.
And to make it very clear, when I was asked to help by the elders, I made it very clear that I'm here for the good. I'm not here to say, let's build something where we're going to don't tell them fellas over there. We cut them out of it. I said, no, if I'm going to join, it's for everyone. It's for all the mob over there, up top on the tablelands, you know, and even for people that aren't from here. And that was a very important thing. And for whatever reason, we couldn't do this if we didn't get the consent and the encouragement from the elders. And not only that, the elders showed us their house and their genealogies and their lineage. And once that was shown to me, because people can say, but I'm from here, I'm do this and that, right? Then you should show it. You know, well, who's your family? Where's your family from? And that's a good way we talk. Hey, who's your mob? You know, that's part of the journey, you know. So when we're talking about Tableland and being one with them and with Bumi and that, you got genealogy, you got well-documented archival footage, radio interviews, books, this, that, and the other. It is beyond any proof now that this land is not Australian land, put it that way. And I know you want to jump in here because it's a very important thing, because we wouldn't have done this if it wasn't for that leadership and eldership.
Look, one thing everyone must understand, black, white, brindle, it doesn't matter. We're not only doing it for Yidinji, we're doing it for Australians. That's a very important part, is that we're doing this for not one Australian dollar, to let the Australians have a homeland to come to. Where's their territory? If we own the place, where's their territory? Go back to your territory. Go back to where you come from. No more. Where do they go? We can't kick out 25 million people and send them to, what, to Nauru or somewhere like that. You know, they're all going to pile in there. The elders were smart enough to say, look, what's done is done. We can't fix that. You know, we don't want to kick them all out. We don't take our country back like that, and you can't give us anywhere else, and you can't pay us for the place. So now we're going to work a treaty out, and the treaty will be under our terms and conditions, and there might even be a time clause in there. Let's see how you go after 5 years. Let's see your performance. So we're going to work a deal out that way, and I know they're coming to the table slowly. They're warming to the idea. They said they're going to go down the state-based treaty road, which will be a delaying tactic, kick the can, but we've got to allow for them Australians to be on our country, but there's going to be a condition to it. And Australia will have to toe the line, and no one can come in between that. It'll be us and then Australia as an agreement. And if they do break the treaty, as they like they're doing down in New Zealand, okay, out you go, there's the door, bring someone else in. So it's going to be very clear, it's very concise, and it's very accurate. There will be performance clauses. If they don't toe the line, treaty's over. But we will be doing the treaty with Australia. Now, the treaty in Victoria, by the way, I see the opposition said, if we get in, we're going to reverse all that legislation and we'll get rid of it. So what's the treaty worth? Nothing.
Yeah. Vico, I'll put you on now. I've just realised that I've been talking in my own world. But obviously, you know, when we're talking about the way that you digitise things, right, there's no point in for me having a house and another Yidinji person not having a house or their family missing out. This is the whole point we're trying to, you know, Australia, for all its wonderful things that it can do, it can't understand the nature of the tribe, and it can't do the business on behalf of the tribe. And the tribal way is different, and it's one where we are all one. It's very difficult to explain that to some people sometimes. But, you know, that's where everything is a little bit different here. It is about everyone that lives on this territory. And Uncle says, I paint you and with my word, and his father and father used to paint people with charcoal and bring them in to look after them. And that's his job as well. That's our job as a government.
Yeah, like, I think it's really important. Many, many decades ago, it was pointed out to me, a wonderful book was saying, and the truth will set you free. And we are so far from the truth now, it's just beyond redemption. The administrators of their truth have just lost their way, and we need to get back to somewhere where the truth is our core. Now, Bumi has invited me and a lot of other people that walk on country to be part of Yidinji, and I'm very privileged to be on that journey and helping other people understand what it truly means to have a deep connection to the country that we walk on. It's not just an individual anymore. We are a collective of people moving in the same direction to be reconnected with something that is truthful, honest, with integrity, and wanting to share the riches of the area with the people that live in the area. Part of that is business. Businesses flourish, businesses spend money, businesses help other people on country benefit from the activities of an individual that's willing to step up and actually grow a business or become a community member and give back to the community. It's critical that people move back into societies where they are focused on giving to the community. You can benefit yourself, but that benefit isn't just to hoard it like Uncle Scrooge McDuck. You're there to accumulate wealth, to spend that wealth on country and help people lift up their own personal circumstances out of the filth that some of them live in because they're not accepting truthful assistance.
Yeah, and that's a beautifully put there, brother. Thank you for that. And Yirilam, I might bring you back in because this is where, like, even though we're part of the Yidinji story, like, as ministers and as people who are not bloodline Yidinji, let's say, right, we know our place in the cultural makeup of things. If someone comes to me and asks about tribal law, or can you give me permission to build this house here? I can't say yes. I've got to say, no, you need to speak to that person over there or that family over here. That's their function as part of, that's their business, because that's been given to them to do. So it's not that we're replacing that. I think that's a very important thing, but we're here to live inside that and to make it strong by telling other people on how to live under that law system. And the governments make it very simple, put it down in writing and to teach people about those things.
Yeah, of course, the government is the interface between the tribal authority and anyone outside that. And, the tribal complexities is far beyond anything that I could learn in a lifetime. So what hope have I got of ever sharing anything? You know, I have no authority and no real knowledge other than what's been shared with me, and it's certainly not one of authority to take any of that in.
But that's where Bumi is. He can walk in between those worlds really easily, and because he's, you know, he walked that as a young person. You know, you used to get firewood and wood and hunting and fishing, and we've done that to other places. But in terms of on this land, you can walk in between these worlds, and that's a very important thing that elders do, is make sure that the young ones coming through stay in their lane, and when they get older, they keep the mother ones from staying in, going outside to doing, offending other people or whatnot. But that's a very, we want to say thank you very much for doing that for us and for the nation. And for whatever reason, God has determined that here we are talking about it today, but that's his design.
Yeah. See, like what Vic said there, that I don't want to say we're blue, black or yellow or anything like that. They came along. Murmur and Gunjara had been 10 meters around. I thought I had nobody to talk. Now, we're talking real stuff here, you know, really live stuff, because I took them out with my foot track, but Dad took us out and Mum took us out that way, Station Way and all these places. They're very powerful stuff that, you know, especially when you come from these things and you live in. Now, these lot there, when I took them out, you know, that's a very rich thing for them too, you know, and it was with the right man and, you know, done the talking, you know, and I really like that, and I got more company in that. I thank Vic for bringing that up, because sometimes a lot of things come across my mind, and yeah.
Vico, right. You wanted to add to that?
Yeah, look, Yidinji has a, you know, across Australia, one of the common terms is welcome to country. Welcoming everyone to the country. Here's an official process to be welcome to the country. It doesn't say piss off from the country. We want people to come on country. We want people to be feel welcome, to be part of their community. You know, that's what it is. Welcome to country. You ask and you get welcomed. You ask. We're not going to tell you to go away. We want to be part of our community.
Okay, that's it for today. We're going to come back with some final comments after the break. You're listening to Black Law Tribal Edition right across the planet.
G'day guys, this is Paddy Mills here. Stay strong to the youth. You're listening to 98.7.
Okay, we're sort of running out of time now, but some quick comments. Vico, just before you go, a short one.
Yep, we want to welcome you to our country. Be part of the community, be part of the truth,